Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rock Talk Happy Hour, a show where we sample and discuss craft brews locally, nationally, and internationally. We also discuss a wide range of music topics and hope to serve as an informational channel for all of our listeners. My name is Frank, and I am joined by Britt, Mario, and Kim. Occasionally, we have theme nights, and in celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month, our theme night tonight is Hispanic musicians. We will talk about some of our favorite musicians who are of Hispanic descent and whose artistry has shaped music over the years. While the list is too long for us to name, we will share a small sample with you all tonight. So National Hispanic Heritage Month is celebrated every year between September 15th and October 15th in recognition of the contributions and influence of Hispanic Americans to the history, culture, and achievements of the United States. It began as Hispanic Heritage Week in 1968 when then-President Lyndon B. Johnson signed legislation recognizing it as such, and then expanded into a month-long observance under the Reagan administration in 1988. September 15th was chosen as the start date because it is the anniversary of the independence of five Hispanic countries, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, who all declared independence from European rule in 1821. Additionally, Mexico, Chile, and Belize celebrate their independence days on September 16th, September 18th, and September 21st, respectively. Before we begin tonight's episode, some terms to know: Hispanic, Chicano, and Latino. What is Hispanic? What is Chicano? What is Latino? Hispanics are people who are natives of or descendants from Spanish-speaking countries. The word Hispanic is a nationally recognized universal term that serves all Spanish-speaking groups in the U.S. Hispanic is a term most commonly used in the American Southwest, Texas, and East Coast. Chicanos are people who are natives of or descendants from Mexico who live in the U.S. For American-born Mexican descendants, it is more of a cultural, ethnic, and community identity. And Latinos are people who are natives of or descendants of a Latin American country. Latino, Latina, and Latinx are terms most commonly used on the West Coast, specifically California. And that is my bit for tonight.
Dang, that was a good bit, because like I was doing research and I never really got into like the political correctness of those terms, and going into the research of it, I realized that those terms are used like interchangeably. But some people argue like, oh no, if you're Latino or Latina, this is what it means, and if you're Hispanic, this is what it means. It's separate, but for the most part, it's put together, and that's just more of like a I guess a guide of like where the lineage comes from. Which kind of made sense to me. I just never really paid that much attention to it. But going through the artists, too, I was like, wait a minute. I also saw that a term for Hispanic means, like, from Spanish descent, obviously. But basically anyone who was Spanish-speaking was put into that category. And when you try to separate it by, like, Latin or Hispanic, I'm like, well, they all speak Spanish. Well, majority of them, they connect in the middle somewhere speaking Spanish. Because I know some of them are going to speak, like, Portuguese or something, or some, like, if you come from Brazil.
Right.
But I was looking at these artists where some of them did come from Brazil or other places that were not considered Hispanic, yet they still spoke Spanish, and their music contained Spanish. So technically, that would make them Hispanic by the other definition. But, yeah, so it was cool that you came up with all that, because I was going in, and I was, like, kind of confused at first.
Yeah, and I figured it's one of those. It's one of those topics where like the terms are not well understood and sometimes are used interchangeably. And I thought maybe if I shed a little bit of information on that, maybe it'll give some people some idea of like, you know, the terminology and whatnot.
Yeah. And it makes sense. And I think after doing that and hearing you say what you were saying, it is like, because especially when you explained why Hispanic Heritage Month is celebrated and why it is, that kind of all makes sense, especially when you named the countries that kind of why they did it for. You're like, yeah, that's all under the Hispanic umbrella, but, you know, those can be considered Latino people or, I don't know. It was very interesting. I really didn't know about any of that stuff.
And what's interesting, too, is like how the word Hispanic is, you know, like I mentioned earlier, like Latino is mostly used in like the West Coast versus Hispanic is used everywhere else, mostly in the rest of the U.S. So, I mean, I don't know if it's just like a preference over the word in some parts of the...
I kind of feel like it's a regional preference thing.
Sure. Yeah. And also sometimes an individual preference, too, right? Yeah. Because not everybody is in agreement about what those terms mean and what they prefer to be called.
And I also was looking somewhere, too, that a lot of these terms came up so that here in America they could identify those groups. And it was very hard for them to kind of put those groups into a category. So, like, that's where, like, Latino came out, too. Because I guess, like, well, the census is going on right now. And I think that was, like, one... probably one thing that made this issue come up originally is we're like, oh, we need to name this group of people. And it was like, oh, Latino, if you're from here, or like Hispanic or whatever. And sometimes there's parts on that thing that throw me off too, because I'm like, because of how they have it categorized. And I'm like, oh, like
sometimes they have pick like Alaskan Island, Pacific, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like Caucasian is on there. But then in a different section, it's like, are you Hispanic? Do you identify as Hispanic? It's like, why can, like, you know, why are those lists separate?
Because they have
the... I just went to the DMV and it was like...
The race and ethnicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, non-Hispanic Caucasian is one of the categories, right? Because if you have a lot of Spanish lineage, then you're technically Caucasian, right? There are people who are from Mexico who are very fair, who are mostly Spanish blood, who would technically be categorized as Hispanic Caucasian.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's a lot of differentiations and, and things that go along with it. But yeah, that was super informative.
Yeah, it was super informative. And that was a good intro, man. This is the first episode 15, where somebody else does the intro. And felt so good.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool.
Wow.
But no, thank you, Frank. That was, was pretty damn awesome.
I'm glad to be of service.
Well, usually before we start to talk about what we're drinking and stuff, we have a little segment where we talk about things that got left over from past episodes. So we call it the hangover. There was one thing that I had that I was going to, I don't know why we didn't mention it, or I don't know why I went over it on my list, but we were talking about German artists, if you didn't listen to our last episode on Oktoberfest. And I saw something that I thought was interesting, and it's that Milli Vanilli is German.
Yeah.
Right. We
and
did forget that.
And I did not know that. So those were like the original lip syncers.
Yes.
They paved the way for other artists.
And then I think after the whole scandal, like the real Milli Vanilli put out an album.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Yeah. Britt probably knows more about that story than I. But because I know their name has popped up before, like,
is that because I'm old, Mario? No, was that, I think, like, hey, Britt, you're older than everybody.
No, because I think this is just like you're like, I don't know. I think I think I've heard you mention them before, like, and I'm like, well, Britt probably knows.
I was just teasing, but actually, Frankie knows more about them than I do.
Oh, there we go. Then Frank, okay, well, I'll let you tell us then. I'm just kidding. So, no, I just wanted to mention them, I just thought it was funny. They were on my list and I didn't bring them up.
Yeah, but the real Milli Vanilli ended up putting out an album under the name The Real Milli Vanilli.
That's...
Yeah, and the other two dudes who are pretending to be Milli Vanilli, one of them, I guess, couldn't get over the embarrassment and killed himself. And the other guy ended up having a successful...
I did not know that.
Yeah, the other guy became a successful record producer, music producer. So
I
guess he redeemed himself, you know?
Hmm, okay. I did not know that. Did you have anything else to say on hangover stuff? Because for those of you who don't know what we're doing, we had part one of our Oktoberfest to celebrate the beginning of Oktoberfest last week. Next weekend, I think it's at the end of next weekend, Oktoberfest is going to be ending. So we're going to do part two of our Oktoberfest fest next week. So we'll be talking about some more Oktoberfest stuff. I don't know what exactly, but we're going to be trying more Oktoberfest beers, definitely. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm going to talk a little bit about German music. There's some stuff that I didn't talk about last episode. You guys don't have anything, right? Kim? Nothing? Britt?
No.
Frank? Okay. So, like Frank said, we're going to talk about artists with the Hispanic backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Also, too, we're going to be drinking beer with the Hispanic or Latin backgrounds or origins. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about the kind of beers that we're going to be drinking tonight. I actually learned some stuff about them that I did not know. There's a reason why they taste different than the American lagers, and I didn't know this. So Mexican style lager, that term, it's not really identified as its own type of beer. And I think in one of our early episodes, I talked about this, where the Brewers Association, they identify certain types after a certain amount of time, once like they become popular throughout the U.S. across multiple breweries. So once it becomes popular or brewed across multiple breweries in the U.S., then they'll start to look at this new type, quote unquote, and then that's when it'll be added to the list of official types. So if you look at a lot of, I guess, especially craft beer, you'll see a lot of breweries come out with, like, actually I have an example of one from California here in the Ice Chest. They call them Mexican style lagers. And that's an American craft brewer's term used when they try to clone a lager from Mexico. Mm. So Mexican style lager is not really a style. It's a term that American brewers use when they try to imitate a lager from Mexico.
Okay.
And the reason why they try to do that is because they're made different. And I didn't know what the difference was. You can tell the taste between like a Dos Equis and something else. Like they taste a little lighter. They taste a little crisper.
Yeah.
Of course they have different tastes, but like you can add lime and stuff to them. And, you know, obviously the salt and stuff. And they taste different. They're not like the straight up American lagers. Like you can't do that to,
yes, you can.
Well, I mean, you can, but
you can dress any beer.
Kim's right. You can.
Coors Light dressed with salt and lemon.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Coors Light with salt and lemon, not lime, lemon.
Hmm.
It couldn't make Coors Light any worse.
Okay. Well, I'll edit that part out. But going back to the example
that you can dress.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Well, going back to the flavors. Frank, I don't know if any of you guys knew this, but the lagers from Mexico, a lot of the legit ones, they're made with maize.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a percentage, I want to say a little bit under 50% of their volume of what the malt would be is replaced by the maize. Mm-hmm. So it's going to affect the flavor differently. Right. It's also cheaper. So the maize is cheaper than a lot of the malts that are out there using the beers. Also, too, I think their hop content is not that high either, which is why they're not as bitter. A lot of them aren't. So like a lot of the main ones that people look at when they see American breweries trying to imitate these lagers, these Mexican lagers, mainly you're going to be looking at Corona, Tecate, and Modelo. Those are the probably big three that they're going to try to emulate.
Okay.
I didn't know that. So that's why I tried looking and I never understood why Mexican style lager was in its own category. And it's because it doesn't need to be. Mm-hmm. It's basically American breweries trying to imitate the Mexican versions of the lagers that are already out there. So that's what I wanted to say about the, give a little information on that.
I think maybe that started with the indigenous people of the early Americas because in addition to maize, they would also make alcoholic type drinks with just fermenting fruits and water and whatever sugar they had at the time.
And you started doing that, right?
Yeah, I started experimenting with that. So
I know we had one of Frank's drinks off the show last episode. And it was really good. And I wanted to see if he was going to do it again for this episode because I was like, well, it kind of makes sense for him to do it. Mm-hmm. But I'll let him talk about it when the time comes in this episode so we can try what he did. So I guess we can jump to what we're drinking. And I'll let Brett talk about this real quick because Brett actually got us... From what I saw doing my research, this is probably one of the best Mexican lagers out there. And I never had one before, and I tasted it, and it tastes really good.
Yeah.
I really like the flavor and the smell of it. It's just...
It's one of my favorites for sure. We're drinking Pacifico, and it is made in Mexico in Nava, which is in...
Coahuila, the state of Coahuila.
Thank you.
There you go.
I was just telling Frankie that, like, for the longest time, I figured it was made somewhere on the Pacific because of the name. It's made in a landlocked state, but that's cool because it's delicious. And, I don't know what else to say about it other than it's really, really good. And if you haven't tried it, you should.
I guess going to ratings, I'm going to go ahead and rate it a 5. I think this is pretty damn good. What do you ladies want to rate it?
4.
Oh, well, okay.
Great. I was going to say 4.7.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, I really like that a lot. But I guess since we... You're good? I was going to open another one.
Go for it.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'm going to open another one. And then once we open this next one, talk about it real quick. Then we'll go into the... Mm-hmm. We'll start
Frankie
talking
can
about...
talk about what he's drinking.
Oh, yeah. What are you drinking?
While we're opening our
stuff. I'm just drinking a lemonade.
No, but it's not just any lemonade.
It's not?
It's Aguas Frescas.
Oh, yeah. So it's an Aguas Frescas style limeade, actually.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's got the right amount of sweetness in it and got the right amount of sour. So
yeah, it's really nice because it's not super sweet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes lemonades, like pre-bottled stuff, is like too sweet.
Yeah, saccharin. Mm-hmm.
So I guess we started this episode off pretty pretty balanced. So we started talking about, well, how the Mexican lagers, like basically Brit started us off with one of the better ones out there. And I decided to go to one that I brought with us. This one's called Taco Truck Lager, and it's by the Dust Bowl Brewing Company from California. So this is one of those that is actually, is this an independent brewery? Yes, it is. So it has an Independent Brewer Association logo on there.
Okay.
So that means they're a craft brewery, and they're independent. So this is an example of an American brewer trying to emulate Mexican lager. So this is 4.7 ABV. Like I said, it's brewed in California. Kitty said hi. All right, so let me...
No, he was sniffing on my bag, and I picked up my finger, and I went, that's what he was like, I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
You're in my house.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll see how this tastes and smells.
Smells good.
All right, so let's see what California's got. If you want more, let me know. I got some more in here. Let's see.
This is me assuming it's good.
I know. I don't know how it tastes. So, all right, let's do this. It smells. It smells good. It doesn't smell as sweet as the Pacifico.
I don't know if it's having it right after the Pacifico.
It's very bitter.
That's bitter, and it's super carbonated.
Salt and lime makes it better.
Does it seem like more carbonated than?
I see more carbonation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It definitely has more carbonation. There's not a lot of flavor to it. Mm-mm.
It's bitter.
It's so crazy. I don't know what is wrong. I'm telling you guys, with my palate, I don't taste bitterness as much as I used to from the hops. After I started drinking Pilsners and IPAs, the bitterness doesn't hit me anymore. Like now I'm drinking IPAs because I want to.
Wow.
Which is weird. Yeah.
Salt and lime makes it a little bit better, but not much.
I think some of these are made that way now so that.
You can dress it and it makes it better.
Let me see.
I squeezed the lime inside and then I took a bite.
To
and
me,
then
there's like nothing here. I'm going to go with. I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way to get another one.
No, it's definitely nothing special.
I'm going to go with like a 1.5. Not necessarily because.
And I was critical.
It just doesn't. Well, it doesn't have any taste to it. Like,
just messing with you.
No, I know. I'm just giving my opinion. Just saying why. I mean,
yeah, 1.5.
1.5? Okay.
Yeah. Really? I didn't like it. The first drink, I was like.
Yeah, I was going to say a 2. I mean, I don't hate it, but I wouldn't seek it out.
Yeah, I don't hate it either. I just wish it was more. But, this is a good example of,
would I finish a whole one by myself? No. So that's why I'm glad we're splitting it.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's
a good criteria.
Yeah. Yeah,
Two of 7 beers down. Frank, you want to kick off our bands and artists?
Okay, yeah. So like I said earlier, our list is pretty overwhelming. But I think, some of us have like a mental list and some of us have an actual list. My list is just condensed to the artists that mean something to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start off with Juan Alderete. He was born in 1963 in L.A. He's a longtime bassist for Racer X and the Mars Volta, and is currently a bassist for Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson comes up quite a bit.
Yeah, he does. Right? Yeah, because you're a Marilyn Manson.
He's your,
yeah.
He's your favorite guy. You have a man crush.
Maybe. Yeah. So Juan Alderete, born 63 in LA, of Mexican descent. His dad, I guess he was like a Mexican social activist.
Oh, wow.
In the time. And, you know, so he's been around like politics. And also at the time as a kid, you know, he was influenced by jazz. And, you know, like his dad played jazz a lot in the household. So because of jazz and later on hip hop and progressive rock, you know, he developed his own style. He's an avid collector of basses and effects pedals. In fact, I think he actually has a website where he hosts, and he showcases a lot of his gear. So he's like a really
he's a gearhead.
Yeah. I mean, like, this dude's got like racks upon racks of stuff, you know. He's also a cycling enthusiast, and he's currently recovering from head injuries that he sustained while bicycling despite wearing a helmet, which left him in a coma for nearly 4 weeks.
What the
wow.
heck?
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy.
And I mean, like, the shitty thing too is, like, when he woke up out of a coma, like, COVID was just beginning.
Oh, man. Oh, it sounds like a 28 days yeah. later yeah. and stuff. Like,
but he's been in a rehab facility like ever since like mid-January.
Man, that's crazy.
And the crazy thing is, I mean, now that he's up and walking and doing all sorts of things, but his long-term memory was affected. So yeah, he's got quite a ways to go to remember a lot of the music that he used to play.
What
oh
the
my gosh.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
crazy.
That's wow. sad.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But he's been doing good, you know, and that's a good thing. Luckily, you know, he's still with us, and
luckily he was wearing a helmet.
I mean, yeah, luckily yes. wearing a helmet, and like, you know, right now that music is on pause. You know, I think he's gonna have some good amount of time to like really rehab properly.
Yeah,
so, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
So that's my first guy right there.
Okay, you got another one. You could throw another one out there.
Yeah. These next two. They share a lot of similarities. Omar Rodriguez Lopez, born 1975 in Bayamon, Puerto Rico. He's a guitarist of At the Drive-In and the Mars Volta. This dude's got an impressive discography. Over the last 16 years, he's released 50 solo albums.
Dang.
Yeah. In addition to other bands he's been involved in.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't know. I can't even think of like one album that I can write by myself.
Damn, that's insane.
But yeah, 50 solo albums in between 2004 and 2020. He's known for having a non-traditional guitar style influenced by salsa, progressive rock, and jazz. He's also a filmmaker and producer, and interestingly enough, is he's not comfortable with the guitar. Like, he still struggles with the concept of guitar, so he does his very best to like play guitar and not make it sound like it's one. And you know, and actually originally he started off as a bassist, and then he got into guitar because he realized he needed more strings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Right. And then,
which is crazy because now they got like 6-string basses.
Yeah. They've got all sorts of stuff now. And the next one that follows is Cedric Bixler Zavala, born 1974 in Redwood City, California. Also vocalist for At the Drive-In and the Mars Volta. And he's also fronted his own bands, Antimask and Zavalas. He's known for his lyrical wordplay and high-energy performances, and he's a close friend of Texas Congressman and former 2020 presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke, with whom he played in a punk band called Foss in the mid-90s.
Huh. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. And even though, you know, they're born, you know, it's funny because I'm looking at my list and I'm noticing a pattern. There's a lot of California-based musicians and bands, but you know, at the Drive-In, they got their start in El Paso. Same thing with Mars Volta, even though, you know, some of the members are from California, some are from Puerto Rico. You know, they all came together in Texas. And so, you know, there's something about, like, El Paso there. Because, I mean, later on, I'll mention some stuff. But, yeah, like, I guess, I don't know. There's, like, a desert rock scene or something, you know, that's, like, very specific to the U.S. And so... Yeah, so those are my three for now, and I'll get into some more later. So.
All right, cool. Well, definitely let me know what your favorite songs from those guys are.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So like I said in previous episodes, we have a Spotify playlist to go along with our episodes. So if you want to check them out, go to rocktalkhappyhourpod.com. You can find the links to all that stuff on our website. So you'll actually find the Spotify link to our actual show, and then you'll find the Spotify link to our playlist. So we'll add songs from the artists that we talk about every episode, and so you'll be able to hear some Mars Volta and At the Drive-In stuff on Spotify for sure. Thanks to Frank's List. So who wants to go next?
I will.
Okay, go.
I don't really have a list, and I don't have much to say, but I was just talking to Frank before the show, and I said that my first exposure to Latin music or Hispanic music, music in Spanish, was Menudo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ricky Martin, right?
Ricky Martin. That's where he got his start.
Yeah. That's a good one. You know, that's weird. I didn't see them on any list that I was looking at. I didn't see Ricky Martin either, which is crazy when you brought it up. But
yeah, because, well, when I was a kid, they had a TV show on ABC, and that was, like, I watched it all the time, and it was, I don't know, it was pretty great. But apparently, the band started in 1977.
Dang.
Which I had no idea about.
And they've had many members.
Versions
of Menudo.
Right. And so that was my first exposure to music in Spanish, and yeah, and I remember watching, you know, every Saturday, and it was pretty great. But yeah,
cool. That is a good one, because out of the whole list that I saw and list that I made, I didn't see them anywhere. Yeah, I didn't see him anywhere. Yeah, yeah. I must have missed them.
I still remember the opening theme song and the whole scene. Like, they're in a shopping mall on the, like, escalators, and they're singing. Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
Sing it.
No, yeah. Yeah, I sing it to Frankie.
I was like, I sang regularly. Last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Yeah, I had to edit it, so I heard it. I guess, you want to go?
You can go.
Well, mine's kind of...
Yours kind of what?
In depth.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
I can wait.
So, I got one. Oh, I actually have two on my list, but one of them is actually... I was a big fan of these guys for a long time, and I when we came across this topic and I was doing my research, I was like, no, yeah, they fit the bill. So, the band I wanted to talk about is Nonpoint. They're a new metal / alt metal / hard rock band from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Mm-hmm. They formed in 97 around drummer Rob Rivera and vocalist Elias Soriano. They're actually of Puerto Rican descent. And
so is Menudo.
Yeah. So, and actually, there's a couple of other artists too that I found that were of Puerto Rican descent. Rob Rivera, actually, the band kind of formed from him going between the States and Puerto Rico trying to get a band to form. And he was actually he was part of one of the bigger parts of the scene in Puerto Rico in the metal community for a while, and then he decided to move back to the States, and it's just crazy because the people who he ended up working with ended up being having Puerto Rican lineage too. Actually, the vocalist, Elias Soriano, he's Dominican and Puerto Rican.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty crazy because I remember going back to... Well, first, I want to talk about how I got into this band. For anyone who knows the band Nonpoint, probably the only song you could think of is What a Day. Because What a Day was big, like, in... I want to say, what year was this? Maybe 2002 or something.
Yeah.
It was, like, early 2000s. So... This was probably 2004. Yeah, it was 2004. I don't know if you guys remember a band called Skindred.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they were like reggae metal, and they were from Wales, I believe.
They're still a thing, though.
Yeah, they're still a thing. Yeah, they're still active. So when they first came out, I was like, oh, man, who are these guys? I like them. Actually, I'm still a fan
That's funny. One of y'all in high school gave me a burned Skindred.
It was probably me. I did have a burn.
Because I have,
yeah, and it's probably my writing. So
it was like doodled on too, yeah, like drawn on.
Probably me. I doodled on my CDs. Really? Yeah, I used to draw like stuff on them. So Skindred, like I'm actually still a fan of that first album today. I actually have their first two albums, and I'm still a fan of that first one. So, anyways, so at the time, those guys were on Lava Records, and Nonpoint had just signed to Lava Records. I believe this was Nonpoint's third album, if I'm correct, and they were having problems with their label that they were on before. Mm-hmm. So they ended up being label mates with Skindred, and when I went to go see Skindred at the White Rabbit when they came through town, Nonpoint was actually on tour with them, and they played right before them, And I was like, oh, I know who Nonpoint is. This shouldn't be a bad show. And like I said, I only knew like What a Day and maybe like one other song. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there on the barricade, and this was back in the day too when we would take pictures with the little disposable cameras.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually still have those pictures from that show. So in storage. So anyway, so I'm there, and Nonpoint, their third album Recoil had just came out. And of course, I didn't really know too much about them or that album that they had released. So I'm there in the front, and I just remember them playing the cover of Phil Collins and Air Tonight.
Yeah, that's right. It was in the Miami Vice.
Yeah, it was on the Miami Vice soundtrack. Yeah, yeah. Well, what's crazy is that song came out on that soundtrack 2 years after the album came out.
Oh. Okay.
So I was in the front, and I remember just being fucking blown away by like just how like it was very tribal, and like, but it wasn't like cliche kind of tribal, because I remember I remember around the nu metal era with El Nino being popular, a lot of bands were trying to do the tribal thing, and like they were just trying to, I guess, milk it or whatever. And there was only a couple of bands that were doing it, like, or not a couple, I should say, a handful of bands that were doing it, like, legit's not the word. What is?
I just remember around the time, like, you know, you mentioned tribal. Yeah, a lot of bands were trying to do the whole tribal thing, and they were all, I don't know, busting out the dreads too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were doing that too. Yeah. So these guys were, they were honest about it, is what I'm. Right. That's okay. I guess that's the word. They were doing it honestly. Like, they weren't trying to do it. It was just part of their. It was just in them, like, to do, to, you know, to do, for it to come out in the music. So especially too, like, when I listened to this album while I was doing the research for this episode, I actually went back and I listened to that album, because I still own it, the original copy that I bought back in 2004. I listened to it all the way through. This fucking album, I forgot how much I loved that album. That album is still badass listening to it today. It's just so, like, honest and aggressive. And the grooves in it, it's like, because I think they're also considered groove metal too, and I like groove metal. Every song on that album has a purpose. There's no filler songs on or filler tracks on that album. And it's cool because they had a purpose when they made it, because they were so angry at their frustrations with the label they were working with previously, that it kind of, that aggression came out on this album. And they had a label that was treating them better than their previous label. And just that whole album is just fucking amazing. It sounds amazing. The lyricism is amazing. It's got a good balance between of their like you can hear some of the like Latin feels in it, but it doesn't like overtake like the music. And then I think their follow-up album after that, it was I think To the Pain, that one they actually had extra musicians play on the album with them. So they had extra percussionists. I think they had like a trumpet player too, like, so it was more it had more Latin feel than their previous albums. But if you haven't heard Recoil, and the only song you know from Nonpoint is What a Day, I highly recommend to go listen to Recoil. I believe Recoil was on my top 10 albums on the very first episode that we did. And then also too, talking about the members, two of the members being from Puerto Rico or being of Puerto Rican descent, they actually, on their early logos of the band, their logo included a tribal frog. And a tribal frog is actually called a coqui. And a coqui is actually a symbol of the Aborigines people that came to Puerto Rico. And so like those tribes would actually paint the frogs on the caves. And they actually adopted it as the band logo. No, they do still use it. They don't use it as much as they did before, but you still see the coqui frog here and there. I actually didn't keep up with them after they lost their original members. Well, two of their original members left. One left in 2008, and the other one left in 2011. And those guys were part of the original lineup from 97. And they actually, like El Nino, because I mentioned them earlier, they actually do have some songs that are done completely in Spanish. And two of the ones that I know from their early albums, I'm going to have them on the Spotify playlist. One of them is Orgullo, and the other one is Rabia, and that one's on the Recoil album. Those those songs are pretty fucking awesome. But yeah, they just, I thought they did a really good job of like just incorporating Latin feels into the music without, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was well balanced with the way they did it. Yeah, I'm still a big fan of Nonpoint. I'm just a bigger fan of the original lineup, and the early stuff that group did together. But that was my first band. So yeah, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans. That's what made up that band.
Hmm. Cool.
Sweet.
Also, too, like around the time, I remember that POD was also big.
Yes. POD was on my list.
Sonny Sandoval was on my list.
Yes. He's on, I know one of the other guys too. I don't know his name. I think it was probably the bassist. I don't know his name. But yeah, POD was on my list too. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything to say about them, but they were on my mention.
I just read that they were like Christian.
Christian, yeah, they were,
inspired by Sonny's mom passed away of, I think it was leukemia, and he was inspired by her religious beliefs, and then that's how they formed their Christian metal band, whatever.
I actually have one of their first albums. This is kind of stupid, but I found it like at a, I don't know if you guys remember, like, I don't know if they still do, but like Walgreens and like the stores like that, like they would have like these end caps, or not end caps, like these little displays like at the register with like CDs and cassettes.
Yeah.
Well, I had saw a POD album there. This was after Satellite had came out, and basically what it was like a reissue of one of like their first albums, like it might have been like two albums before Satellite. And I heard it, and it was pretty like raw and like cool. Like this was more when they were like more considered Christian. Then after Satellite, they kind of went off the radar for a while, and then they went back into like being like full on Christian. I know they were big in the Christian rock scene for a while after Satellite too, because Satellite kind of made them mainstream, and then it didn't really seem like they were. But I seen them in concert twice. I actually saw them once when Satellite came out, and then I saw them once again like 4 years ago. They were pretty good. So I've seen them like in two different eras of their career, and it was, yeah, they were pretty good.
Were they ever considered Christian metal?
They still are too. Yeah. I think that's why they're not as big now, because I think Satellite was just that one album that made them like mainstream outside of the Christian rock community. But they've always been like Christian rock, Christian metal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know there's like bands out there that are, like, they have Christian beliefs, but they don't like the label, like Christian metal or Christian rock or whatever. Yeah. So it's like, you know, like that's their belief system, but they don't talk about it lyrically.
Well,
you
know? Doing my research, I didn't know that Jacoby from Papa Roach, he's like a big Christian too. He'll do like, I don't know what the word is, like religious, like songs. Like he'll like, I don't know what it's called, Frank, man. But he'll like do a lot of that like out like in public events.
Okay.
And I didn't know that, but it doesn't show on Papa Roach music. Yeah. But like he's like a real.
Well, I remember I read that one time like everybody associated or thought that like 12 Stones was a Christian rock band, but then I saw like an interview like Paul McCoy was like that, like he was drinking a beer at a gig or something, and people were like, "Oh, like you thought you were Christian like rock, like why are you drinking?" And he's like, "I never said that. Like that was just kind of put on us. Like he's like, you know, that my beliefs have nothing to do with my music or what I'm doing, you know?"
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. But
so I guess before we go into the next thing, beer break real quick. I opened up a Tecate. Actually, I don't think
that's
I ever had
good
one.
Stuff.
So this is of course it's from Mexico. It's in a retro can. I'm trying to see what the ABV is. I don't know what the ABV is, but you'll see it on the website, because sometimes the cans don't have it labeled. So
probably like 5%, I think, because I think they're
all around the same. Yeah, they're like in the 5.
Yeah, because they got the lights like a 3 point something. So that's probably like a 5, I think.
All right, so we'll try this and then we'll go on to the I was gonna say something else. Okay, so while we're doing this, while we're pouring, there's a quick story I wanted to tell real quick, talking about the whole Christian band thing. So I was in this band. I actually mentioned them before, I think. This is weird, because this band that I talked about is the band that I played with Taproot, and 12 Stones was supposed to play, so it's kind of connected. So this band, they're the ones that wanted to call themselves nu metal. And the singer, I don't want to say his name or anything, but he got into this mindset one day that he came to practice. He's like, hey, guys, I wrote a song called Job. And I was like, because when I saw the title, I saw J-O-B. And I was like, Job? He's like, no, Job from the Bible. I was like, okay. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So the song was cool. And he's like, you know what, guys? He's like, I think we should be a Christian metal band. And I was like, but we're not Christian metal, right? So just keep that in mind, right? And he's like, yeah, he's like, I know. He's like, but with this song, like, maybe we should start to go into that because it'll be easy for us to, like kind of go into that scene and, like, be, like, because there's not a lot going. There's not, basically what he was saying is there's not a lot of competition in the Christian metal scene. So, like, let's do that, get our foot in, and then whatever. I'm like, dude, you're going to hell for that. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know why, but for the longest time, he was trying to pull us into Christian, being a Christian metal band when we weren't, knowing that we weren't, just because of one song.
Yeah.
And actually, that's one reason why I left the band. That's why I'm not in the band anymore. The band still exists under a different name. I actually did some digging around, and they still exist. And it's funny because...
Is Job one of their songs?
I have no idea. I don't think the singer's in the band anymore, which is weird because I thought he was the one. I thought he was the one that started the band. But yeah, the band's still around, and I'm like, what the fuck? But anyways, yeah, that was my story. So. Wow. But let's try this tecate real quick.
Good stuff.
Smells good. Kind of smells. It doesn't smell as sweet as a Pacifico, but it has a good smell to it. Yes, definitely has more flavor than that taco truck.
And it's really light and crisp, like you said.
I don't like it as much as a Pacifico, but I do like it.
Same here.
It has a little bit of bitterness to it, but a good bitterness. I like it. I'm gonna give it a 4.5. Yeah, I like it a lot. 4.5.
Four
for Kim. Britt.
I'm gonna go a 4.
4, okay. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. All right, so I guess I got that out the way, and whoever wants to go with another band off.
Sure. Well, I don't have, I never have rock artists. But I do have artists.
That's cool. You bring balance to the podcast. You and Britt bring balance to the podcast. Well, no, actually, Frank does too. We all do. I'm the one that kind of, I kind of stay in one.
But I thought it would be cool because if you're listening to this, you obviously, I guess, like music. If you're listening to this, you probably like rock music. But you, I don't know how far Tejano music actually goes across the waters, I guess, right? Like, I don't know.
Oh, you mean like how global it is? Yeah, yeah.
So we're gonna take a trip down Tejano music lane, kind of. Which, according to Wikipedia, Tejano music, also música Tejana, is popular music style fusing Mexican, European, and U.S. influences with elements from Mexican Spanish vocal traditions and Czech and German dances. Dance tunes and rhythms, particularly polka or waltz, which is cool because we're on Oktoberfest still.
Yeah,
so,
so it's like a blending of our cultures.
It's traditionally played by small groups featuring accordion and guitar. So my artists, and these, the two top artists that I have on my list, they're also from San Antonio.
Yay!
Which I thought was awesome there too. Plug in the hometown people. Cool. My first one is going to be Emilio Navaira, who is from San Antonio. He lived on the south side somewhere, southeast, I guess, maybe southwest somewhere. He was very successful in both Mexico and America. He started out in the David Ligarza y Los Musicales in 1989, and then he formed his own band, Emilio y Grupo Drio. He signed with the Colombian Records, which resulted in recording over 15 albums to date, and Emilio was called the Garth Brooks of Tejano. Okay. He also had a country album, which I didn't know. I do remember an English song. So yeah, I guess I'd remember that he had a country album. And Emilio passed away in 2016 of cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, I remember.
But
that.
I mean, I miss like being in that age where you go to like quinces, or like when you would go with your parents to like weddings, and then there's just like full of Tejano and cumbia, and like it just watching people dance and just like dancing.
Yeah,
and
now it's all reggaeton.
I know. I miss those old school quinces and weddings and stuff like that.
You know, it's funny because the other day I was thinking about that, like all the Mexican music that I used to listen to as a kid and thinking, oh, that's for old people. And now as an adult, I'm like, turn that shit off.
I know, right? Like, I missed it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I miss those days, like, just going with my parents. Like, at the time, when you're in that moment and you're young, you're like, man, like, we're here still, and they're drinking. They're on their fifth setup with the, like, yeah, the third bottle of Crown or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you want to go home. But, like, now I'm thinking, like, shit, like, where are those get-togethers at my age now? Like, I don't want to be there when I was, like, 10. I want to be there now. Like,
we can have them at our house now.
Hey, yeah, we can have our own. I'm going to have my own.
That's right.
My own party.
Or we can just go across the street to my neighbor's because they're doing that shit all the time.
Oh, okay. That's like a mom's old house.
Everyone always has that neighbor across the street that's doing it all the time. We had one of those. And then I know your mom had one of those.
We've been in bed at like 1:30 at night. And you like hear the bass. Dancing, and you hear the, you know, kind of like.
Yo. Oh, my God. I remember one time.
I want to be there.
I was going crazy because literally I think they were having some kind of. They were having some kind of party, and it was the neighbors I had across the street, and then my legit next door neighbor, and my room was like right next to their backyard. And I'm not even kidding. Half of the family stayed up till like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock the next morning with music on. And I'm like, damn. Yeah. So.
Oh, and for those of you who don't know what a quince is, it's a quinceañera, which is a 15-year birthday party for a girl who, and it symbolizes her becoming a woman. So, and it's like big, like wedding style. Like people go all out for quinceañeras.
Oh yeah.
I also have, who's also from San Antonio, is Chris Bettis. So Chris Bettis was the lead guitar for Selena y Los Dinos.
I forgot he was from here.
And he married Selena in 1992, and they were married from 92 to 95. When she was murdered. Before that, and I didn't know, he actually played in the Shelly Lattice band.
Oh, I didn't know that. I remember.
Who is also from San Antonio from about 1980. I think he joined like 89, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And from 1999 to 2009, he had the Chris Bettis band. And from 2010 to present, he has the Chris Bettis project.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. Like, yeah, all that was cool. San Antonio artist there, a little intermixed.
You know, and you're talking about Emilio Navaira, and there's a Mexican restaurant not too far from where we are. I'm going to give a shout out to Rafa's Mexican restaurant. It's a really, really good place. Emilio Navaira, he was a frequent patron over there before he passed away. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
My dad saw him once.
He's from the hood.
That's cool.
I never saw him like over there, but yeah, my dad would see him frequently over there.
Oh, that's cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw Chris at some Mexican restaurant on Bandera Road. I don't know which one. I forget what it's called, but I saw him there one time and I was like, damn, like, he's actually a handsome guy. Like, I was like, okay, Chris. This was years ago. I was like, all right, Selena. Like, damn. Chris is a little kitty over here. But
just turn your mic down all the way.
But yeah, so those are my two top ones that I had. And then I had Sonny Sandoval, and I had... Shakira was on my list, which I was really confused. And I was talking to Mario about this.
Because this is the whole thing
where we were confused and where you brought light to us was like, Shakira is Lebanese and like, I don't remember the other part, but was born and raised in Colombia. So like, we were like, is she like Hispanic because she's Lebanese and she's, gosh, I can't remember the other part, but none of it seemed Hispanic to us.
Yeah.
And then we were like, but she sings in Spanish. And
technically, like, they consider her Latina, but some people don't. Yeah, but,
so we were like, what the heck? But she was on my list. And then Dave Navarro.
I forgot about Dave Navarro.
Oh, yeah. Jane's Addiction and Red Hot Chili Peppers. Well, he was only on Chili Peppers for like
I didn't.
I forgot about him, too.
I forgot about it.
Yeah, and of Ink Master fame.
Yes.
Ink Master, yeah.
But yeah,
damn, I forgot about this. Wow, that's interesting.
A friend of mine saw him at the Denver airport waiting in line for some Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Did he have ice cream coming out that was named after him? Or?
I remember
probably, right?
Yeah, probably. Somewhere that if I Google it, it'll probably come
out. Working at the airport was always fun because you got to see, like, different celebrities, and I remember Shawn Michaels came through one time. I saw Carlos Mencia, like,
oh wow,
cool.
Some of the girls from Danity Kane, like, it was just cool, like, seeing all those people and their aliases when they check in.
Cool.
Yeah, wow. Nice.
All right, Frank, you got something?
Yeah, probably an unexpected one. Slayer.
Oh, I got them. I got them on my list, but I didn't write too much stuff down, but enough.
Yeah, so I'm gonna name my next three. So Slayer, they were formed in 1981 in Huntington Park, California. They are part of the Big Four thrash bands. They've enjoyed some pretty good success throughout their near 40-year career, despite controversies over religious commentary, supposed white supremacy sympathies, and graphic artwork. And they're one of the most influential bands in heavy music. Mm-hmm. And Slayer, because of Tom Araya, and he's Chilean-born.
Yeah, he's Chilean.
And original drummer Dave Lombardo, he's Cuban-born.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's Cuban-born, so that's their little Hispanic heritage right there. The next one is a pretty fun punk band, I think, Manic Hispanic.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't know about that.
Manic Hispanic, they're formed in Orange County, California, 1992. They're part of the Chicano punk movement, whose music addresses Chicano lifestyles by parodying other well-known punk songs. And the band's name is actually a play on Manic Hispanic, which is a brand of hair dye that's panic. Popular in the... Manic Panic. What did I say?
Manic Hispanic again.
Yeah. Okay, so Manic Panic, it's a brand of hair dye. It's popular. And, you know, So Manic Hispanic, Manic Panic, that's a little play on the whole thing.
Huh.
And... a very obvious one, Deftones, of course.
Deftones.
They were formed in Sacramento, California in 1988. They've enjoyed consistent success throughout their 30 years plus career and have a very devoted following in California, the American Southwest, and Latin America. They also have one of the most diverse influences and musical outputs in alternative metal. And actually today, they released their 9th album, Ohms, to wide universal acclaim. And actually on my way to work this morning, I was listening and I was like fucking just blown away by it.
That's cool.
I don't know what it is. It's like... You know, I was thinking, okay, like, with every album, they just keep getting heavier, and not, like, heavier in a traditional sense, but, like, if you listen to Steph's guitar, like, now he's playing on a 9-string guitar, and he's making it difficult for all, like, the budget Deftones fans who want to cover them, because 9-string guitars are not cheap.
I had a Stephen Carpenter 7-string.
Well, yeah.
Gave it to you, but...
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
And actually, Stephen Carpenter, he's related to Chuck Billy, vocalist of Testament, who's also of Hispanic descent. So he's like Hispanic and Native American descent.
Yeah. Speaking of Hispanic and Native American, I have Robert Trujillo on my list because, of course, I got to mention Metallica every time we have an episode.
Just like Frankie has to mention the Deftones and Marilyn Manson.
And Marilyn Manson, So Robert Trujillo was born in Santa Monica, California, and he's actually of Mexican and Native American descent. He's been pretty big in the metal community. I mean, I know a lot of people know him from Metallica now, but he was in Suicidal Tendencies. He also played bass for in Black Label Society and for Ozzy. Robert Trujillo has had a pretty diverse career in metal. Yeah, and Suicidal Tendencies is one of those bands too that they blended like metal and funk, and like, you know, they were one of those bands that just they fused different styles together, and they didn't sound like anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's and then to have like someone like him representing like that community, like in a band like Metallica, like one of the biggest. And it's crazy because I like two of the big four have, you know, Hispanic members, and you know that are, you know, that's pretty crazy because you were talking about Slayer and, you know, Metallica. Right.
And also I think he's got I don't know how active they are, but Robert Trujillo has the Robert Trujillo trio or three.
I don't know about that.
And I think I think they're like a jazz influenced.
Sometimes I think you're a bigger Metallica fan than I am. Yeah.
No, I just
say stuff. Like,
I either forget stuff or like you say stuff I didn't know. I'm like, what the fuck?
I just read stuff and things.
And he retains it all. Like I can read stuff and things too, but I don't remember the next day.
Who else you got on your Spitfire list?
On my Spitfire list,
because I know we're just going like through really quick. Yeah, that's all I had on Robert Trujillo.
I was gonna mention, you know, Robert Trujillo is one of them. Joe Escalante, born in '63 in Long Beach, California.
Familiar.
He's the bassist for the Vandals.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, and in addition to being a bassist for the Vandals, he's also a television show writer. He's a radio show host. He's a film music director. He's also he's a co-founder of Kung Fu Records as well. One of my favorites is Brujeria. They're formed in 1989 in L.A., and they perform under pseudonyms and portray themselves as a band of drug lords who conceal their identities due to being wanted by the FBI.
I knew about the band, but I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew the band's name as well, but who knew?
And their lyrics are focused on Satanism, anti-Christianity, immigration, narcotics, smuggling, and politics. And they gained controversy for the artwork of their debut album, which features the decapitated head of a narcotics trafficker. It's actually pretty graphic.
Holy crap. Are they still active?
They're still active, yeah. And they've switched like lineups like crazy.
Huh.
But they're still active, yeah. And they're not consistent. I mean, they're consistent, but you know, the cool thing about them is that they're a mix of Mexican, Swedish, and British.
Wow.
Like the band members, yeah. You know. But you know, when you're in Brujeria, you assume a Mexican identity and you pretend that you're a drug lord who's hiding from the FBI.
Speaking of a mix like that, I have Zach De La Rocha on my list from Rage Against the Machine. He's actually part Mexican, German, and Irish.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what the heck? That's a pretty diverse... But then again, also too, when I was doing my research, like, I know Texas is very, like, Mexican-oriented, because we're neighbors, but we're very German-oriented too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very crazy. So we're like... Fucking, I don't know, it's crazy.
And the Irish are everywhere.
Yeah, that too, yeah. So, yeah, it's a very, I mean, it's not as, like, crazy as, like, a state like New York or, like, city specifically New York, but, like, Texas is pretty...
Diverse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. We've got, like, towns that are, you know, Czechoslovakian and Polish and, all kinds of cool stuff.
What else you got, Frank? Oh, real quick, I guess I just want to cut. I got Carlos Santana on here, and the reason I put Carlos Santana, he was born in Mexico, but I didn't know that Santana was actually a pioneer of Latin rock.
Yeah,
he was one of the first ones. Him and his band were one of the first ones to fuse rock and roll and Latin American jazz together. They kind of kicked off the whole Latin rock movement back in like '65, and he's still active. And I think, if I'm correct, he actually helped bring up one of the other bands that I found on the list, which was Los Lonely Boys.
Los Lonely Boys.
So they were on my list. And then looking at them, too, Los Lobos was on my list, too.
Yeah.
But I had them, too. I didn't really have too much to say about him, but Santana mostly, because he was, I mean, everyone knows Santana. I mean, that guy was around when Woodstock, you know,
the original Woodstock.
Yeah, so came around. So, but yeah, Santana, he's a pretty big, he was a big influence on a lot of the bands that we're going to talk about, talked about, or that are on the lists out there of like Spanish rock bands and stuff like that. But
yeah. And also, wasn't Kirk Hammett on one of his albums too?
Yeah, Kirk Hammett was on one of his albums too. Man, this was like 2006 or 2007. I think it might have been the album after Supernatural.
Okay,
which was a good album.
But, yeah, that was good.
But
What you got? I had a. I don't know. I just wanted to mention Gloria Estefan. Like, I think her music is just like.
Oh yeah, it's good.
Fire. She has such a unique voice and like a unique like. She was with the Miami Latin Boys, and they became later known as the Miami Sound Machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
She's Cuban. And this is another one because she's of Spanish descent. Her parents are from Spain, she was born in Cuba, and all that stuff. So we were like,
technically, she'd be.
That's some good dance music.
And she brought Latin music into the mainstream, in the '80s, that was kind of a big deal, like very widespread, right? It became very popular, their music. I mean, it was top 40 stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot about her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say I met her, but I don't remember.
Okay.
When I was little, because I remember we were talking about somebody, I think Marie Osmond or something was like on TV, and I was like, I met her when I was a kid. Like I did. Yeah, I was like in the hospital and she was like visiting kids and I met her.
Really?
I don't know. And I think I met Gloria Estefan too, like Fiesta Texas or something.
Dang.
Okay.
I wasn't in the hospital.
Cool.
No, not that one.
I want to say, I mean, my mom's probably listening. She'll probably correct me, but I'm pretty sure I met her.
Yeah.
I was going to just quickly mention Jorge Herrera.
That name sounds familiar.
The lead singer of The Casualties. Punk band. Until recently, I guess he's no longer with the band. He quit in 2017, but he was with them for 27 years. So
damn, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yeah. And he was from Ecuador.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Ecuador, also too, Ray Mayorga of Stone Sour, drummer.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I didn't know he was.
Yeah, he's Ecuadorian and Cuban.
Cool.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah, so what did I say? Soulfly? Right?
Soulfly, yeah. I didn't know Soulfly was a spinoff of Sepultura.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I mean, I knew they were connected, but I didn't know.
Yeah, so when Max Cavalera left, he joined Soulfly, or he formed Soulfly.
He was the vocalist for...
He was the vocalist, for Sepultura, And, you know, Soulfly, just like Sepultura, they're very heavily Brazilian. You know, the members are Brazilian, pretty much. And
Heavily
Brazilian?
But their songs are sung in Spanish, though, right?
Their song, well...
Because, I mean, I'm not too... I've listened to some of their stuff, but not enough to pay attention to know if it's Spanish or Portuguese. Or...
Well, if it's Portuguese, it's very similar sounding to Spanish. You know, I don't know a whole lot about...
I've never really paid attention.
Yeah. I mean, other than, like, the stuff that was, like, on the radio.
I think I saw Soulfly on my birthday. I don't even know if you were there. It was like 2003, 2004 at Sunset Station. Soulfly came on my birthday.
And I remember. Was that the one with Morbid Angel?
Morbid Angel, Okay.
We were both there.
Okay, so yeah, we saw Soulfly back in the day. Yeah, Morbid Angel, shit. Okay. And I don't remember.
Man,
I mean, my memory's bad to begin with.
I mean, I thought the show was good. I remember.
I remember his guitar. Brazilian flag. Yeah, I just remember that.
I mean, of course, this was, you know, it's funny because, like, today, if we were to go to that show, it would be a probably, like, super mellow show because everyone's going to be, like, busy on their phones trying to get stuff. But that was, like, probably one of the most violent, brutal pits I've ever been in.
Yeah, I was part of some... Yeah, I remember...
That's funny because I was thinking about, like, when I was talking about earlier, like, going to the quinta and the weddings with your parents, but, like... We didn't have these kind of cell phones, so you like literally had to sit there and watch them or put some chairs together and go to sleep. Or
play with some rocks.
Play with the decorations on the table.
So beer break real quick. I opened up a Dos Equis Mexican Pale Ale. I've never had this before. It doesn't smell as sweet as it tastes. To me it tastes very sweet and it has a bit of bitterness that it's pretty.
I like the other Dos Equis there.
Original Dos Equis.
I know it's advertised as having a bit of a spice.
I mean, I like it. It does have I guess it's the sweetness it is, but it might be that spice that's in there. I don't know what it is, but I mean, I like it. It's made with citrus hops and a hint of some spice. It says a hint of heat, but I just taste the sweetness.
Taste any heat.
Yeah, it's the sweetness to me. 5.5 ABV.
We did pick up a beer.
5.5%
at HEB, like we literally picked it up and looked at it, and then he read it, and I was like, put that down. It had ghost.
Oh, it had ghost pepper in it.
Forget it.
Yeah, but it's like, in a bottle.
Put that down, boy.
So
walk away.
I know we've talked about this in previous episodes, but these Mexican lagers that are in the white bottles, those are gonna taste more skunky than the ones in the can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know what?
Like clear bottles. I mean, I don't know why I said white. I meant clear. Clear bottles.
Dos Equis in the can is better than Dos Equis in the bottle. And Dos Equis draft is better than all of them.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you rate this one? I rate this one a 4.5. I like this one a lot. I've never had this one before and I like it.
I'm going to go 4.2.
4.2.
I do like it. It's good.
So good. All right. So Kim's going to...
She's cleansing her palate.
I mean, I've never had it before.
I was chewing on the lime rind.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I taste is lime.
It smells citrusy and a bit spicy, but I don't taste the spiciness that they're talking about, but I do taste the sweetness. Mm-hmm. It's sweet.
Mine's just riddled with lime.
I like the can.
Yeah, the can's really cool.
The can's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like a Aztec...
chief-looking guy, right? Something,
yeah.
He looks important.
Well, you guys will see all these cans and ratings on our 3.8. Instagram. Mm-hmm. 3.8. Okay. That's good. Good. All right. So, who wants to... Frank, you got some more stuff on your list?
Yeah. I want to throw in some locals also.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Girl in a Coma.
Mm-hmm. Which we've played with.
Yeah.
We played with at the downtown library.
This is true.
Enchilada.
The biggest, where some of the Selena movie was filmed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Girl in a Coma. They're formed in 2004. here in San Antonio, Texas. Mm-hmm. They gained wide acclaim by being signed to Joan Jett's Black Heart Records. Mm-hmm. They've done national, international tours with Tegan and Sarah, Social Distortion, and Morrissey, and they're a staple of women's empowerment movement in music. And another band, another pretty well-known band, is Piñata Protest.
They were formed in
2006 yeah. here in town. They also, too, have enjoyed national and international success, including a headlining tour of Spain in 2019. And they also have, I don't know if it's still available or not, or if it's still in production. They have a beer with Frito Brewing.
Yeah, I was looking for it. I haven't found it, but I don't know if it was like a limited thing or not, but I've been keeping my eyes out, eyes open for it. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I think their side band, Los Callejeros, I think they've been playing some shows at the Aqueduct.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Like, what recently? The hell?
Holy shit. Since COVID? Or?
Yeah, I guess because, you know, it's probably like the perfect venue.
Come on, let's go.
It's like...
Yeah, it's open.
Yeah, it's open.
Everybody, it's outdoor. And yeah. They have their picnic tables set up 6 really feet apart. Out, and you can sit with your people, like no more than 10 people, I think, in your group and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
we shoot.
People that are playing there.
Why aren't we going, y'all?
We really should.
I know,
go.
We need to go to that non-alcoholic. Oh, that non-alcoholic. Place, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We want to go to the Altstadt Brewery because they're open again.
Where is it?
It's in Fredericksburg.
Oh my gosh, heck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
I know, right? Yeah. Why are we sitting here? Yeah. Well, it is 10 o'clock, so.
Hey, maybe we'll cross paths with them because we want to start playing shows again.
Yeah, we do.
So we're getting a house
we made
now.
A pact
so,
or like a deal. Well, or
it's easier to practice now in a house because I feel like, especially living on the third floor, like it's very hard, even limited amount of room. And space and just setting
we made
stars.
A deal, Frank.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
We made a deal.
I know.
Because you're in the band, too.
Oh, yeah, you're
we Frank. Made a deal that when we get moved into the house and he has his little room set up, that we are going to work on.
Yeah, because I do want to start playing
good.
Again.
Awesome.
Because we...
I really want to play again.
I'm going to be your number one fan.
Yay!
Yeah.
I want
and we're
the
not
going to
waste your time. Yeah. And we're not going to play in the sandwich shop.
We're not going to play at the furniture store.
Mattress store.
I've never played a mattress store.
I played a couch store. For the first few times, but not the same 6 songs all the time.
For the rest of your lives.
True.
Okay, I'm done.
And,
we're going straight to hell.
I mean, I'm fine.
You can edit that out, right?
Yeah, I'll edit that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I know this is like off topic, but it's because I was thinking about it while we were doing this. Might as well talk about it. So when I was doing the research on Nonpoint, and I was talking about how the drummer made the band, and he was going back and forth between here in Puerto Rico, and basically he was like, I don't care where I go as long as I find the people that I need to see it the way I see it and who are going to, you know. Now he's a successful musician, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like I gave up somewhere along the way where I just got so frustrated. Like, I had Frank the whole time, but we never found, like, a vocalist that was committed. We never found a drummer that was committed. We did, but unfortunately something happened to him. And I feel like, I mean, we were at it for a long time. Me and Frank were together for a long time doing the music thing. And I'm like, man, maybe I gave up too easy or whatever. But I was like, you know, he just kept going until he found the people that he wanted. But some people get lucky and, you know, they find those people in like 5 years. We were at it
now
for
you
a long
have a
time.
Wife
yeah, I know.
Sings and plays bass and plays drums and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
at
I know.
Least
I
don't plan on it.
It's just,
unless there's something, I don't know.
It's just, it was hard.
Trying to get rid of me.
It's just, it was hard when me and Frank were first starting. And I was just thinking about those days where I'm like, man, like it was like, we tried, we did. Mm-hmm. And then like, I got so tired. You know, trying to putting up with people's bullshit.
Exactly.
Yeah, like people trying to be Christian metal when they're not. Trying to be new metal when
people
it's 2012.
People being shady. Playing the same music that you're playing with another band.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah.
but even
I'm not telling you.
Even with all that, it was also easy because none of us had jobs.
That is true, and it's funny because as easy as it was still hard, dude. Like, man, I remember this was back before social media. I think I mentioned this in previous episodes. It was literally putting ads in the paper. Like, oh, make sure you don't cross, like, certain amount of characters and you can have the ad for free. You know? Because, that's how it was. And I remember, Frank remembers, I would put in, like, okay, we only have enough characters to put this. These aren't influences. Frank, give me two bands. I got two bands.
Yeah.
This is our fucking, and we actually tried people out, but it was like, I remember one time, I mean, we could say this. We tried out this, two of them I remember. One of them, this girl came and she was like, oh yeah, I want to try for the band. And so she's singing. And then she goes, I'm going to take a smoke break real quick. So she goes to the front of the house and she's taking a smoke break. And then we find out she's also pregnant. Oh. And I was like, what the fuck? So obviously she didn't end up in the band. And then we had another guy. I don't think Frank was there. I think some reason Frank might have been there. I know we were missing a member. And I was talking to the guy on the front of my house, on my porch, and, you know, trying to see where he was at, because I'm trying to find people who are in it for the long run, right? And he's like, yeah, he's like, I do modeling on the side. Like, that's what I really want to do, modeling. Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you trying out for the band? Like, I don't understand.
Well,
like,
see,
I'm looking.
You have
for,
me.
Yeah, yeah, I know. So I'm just talking about this, the guys. Early days. I'm talking about 2002, this. Back when we played with Girl in a Coma and nothing more. Back in the day, like, when we had shows. Where we played without vocalists. I remember we had a show.
Yes.
I remember we
witnessed the pact.
The first show that we played at the library, we had a vocalist, and then the second time we played the following year, we played without a vocalist.
I remember that.
Like we played, like, we were just like, look, we need a fucking vocalist. But I mean, it all depends where you're at too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Why didn't you sing Mario?
At the time,
it was good.
You know, I had thought about it, but I was never like, I think if I would have practiced and tried then, I probably would have built some kind of skill, but I didn't. I know Frank tried for a while too. I think we both kind of like dabbled in it, but we didn't like hit it hard. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just more concentrated on playing guitar. But I don't know. I was just thinking about it when I was doing the research for this. Just,
yeah,
you know.
Well,
but
we're gonna do it.
So. All right. So guys, follow our Instagram.
2021.
There it is.
Is the year of playing gigs again.
Yeah, yes. I want to play gigs again. Yes. So. Alrighty, Frank, what you got?
I guess I don't know. I'm gonna finish off my list, I guess.
Yeah, go for it.
Al Jorgensen, Cuban born.
I got him on here too, but as a hangover from.
Yeah. Okay. He's not. Tell me the origin of his name.
Oh, let me find his name.
Yeah, because it's
I'm
not.
I'm the one that found his name.
Yeah. His name that he uses makes it seem as though he's like Scandinavian.
Do you have his real name on there?
No, I don't.
Okay,
but it's like Alejandro or something.
Al Jorgensen. Okay, so guys, I'm gonna. Okay, so his real name. He's American, Cuban American. Wait a minute, that's not his name either. What the hell?
How many names does he have?
Oh, okay. This is okay. Now I found it. So he was born. This was how he was born.
This is how he was born.
Here's the story of his birthday.
Alejandro Ramirez Casas. Now that's Hispanic.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he goes by Alain David Jorgensen.
Oh.
I don't know.
Alain. Alain.
It could be a marketing thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's what he goes by. And I guess he's trying to go European on it.
Maybe.
Just like the accent he had.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, I've got him. I've got also Tony Campos, bassist for Static X, as well as Ministry, Fear Factory, Soulfly.
Fear Factory, that's right.
He's got a degree in computer science.
Cool.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I never would have thought. Also, two, Mike Herrera, bassist of MXPX. And this one's actually, I don't know, I'm still a little bitter about this one. So Mario and I were in a band some years back, and we were on tour, and we played a show in Bremerton. It turns out that the venue we played at was actually owned by Mike Herrera. The night that we played, we, you know, like every other show, our audience was like every other band that was on the bill. And turns out the next day, that venue was hosting a proper punk festival. But there was disagreements about the tour itinerary, and we just did not play that. So that could have been a cool thing. We actually could have had a connect with MXPX right there.
That would have made
somebody some probably sense. Would have screwed it up, but
I don't know.
But yeah.
I'm personally fond of Cuban music. Next one is the Buena Vista Social Club. Mm-hmm. They're a Cuban ensemble that performs son cubano, bolero, guajiro, and danzón. There's music genres that are otherwise recognized as world music. Los Prisioneros is a Chilean new wave and rock and español band with a very strong social and political legacy. And lastly, I've got Soda Stereo. Argentinian new wave / rock and español band, and also considered one of the pioneering Latin rock bands.
Hmm. When you say that, I don't know why the two bands that pop into my head, because my mom listened to them like for a while back in the day, is Maná and
Juanes.
Gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just those two were like Spanish rocker.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I those two like popped up on here too, and I was like, oh shit, I kind of forgot about them.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody mentioned last episode 311.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the vocalists.
That's right. Doug Martinez.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything else on my list. If anyone else has anything else on
their list. Yeah, no, nothing.
No, you don't. Okay,
I feel like there's going to be a hangover, though.
For sure.
Oh, probably, yeah. Definitely. There's always a hangover when you're drinking beer. no, actually, it's funny. I doing this show, like, I've actually never had one, which is, I guess, it's a good thing.
No, last Saturday, I was like, and I didn't even drink a lot.
Oh, Kim, I was like,
Well, Fear Factory also, some of their members are Mexican descent.
Dino Cáceres,
yeah. And their drummer, Raymond Herrera.
Okay, man, yeah, that's crazy because a lot of these guys weren't on the lists. But
yeah, and the last one I can think of off the top of my list is Randy Castillo, drummer for Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh yeah,
for a time.
Well, guys, I guess that wraps up this episode. And if we have anything for Hangover, we'll mention it on episode 16. That's going to be our Oktoberfest Fest Part 2. I still don't know what we're talking about as far as music-wise. I have a couple of things to say about music for next episode, but not as detailed as we did on Part 1. Definitely going to be drinking more Oktoberfest beers. So we have 7 days to think about it. So off the mics, we have 3 more beers to try, which I'll post on Instagram. Post those ratings too. You'll see the ratings and the pictures of the beers that we drank tonight. I think we have a Bohemia Pilsner. That's from Mexico. I've never had that before. We have some type of Corona. I don't know if it's
the virus.
Not that one. Not the virus. And your classic Dos Equis, but we're going to try that out and rate them, and then we'll see which one got rated the highest out of all the Mexican lagers.
Definitely wasn't the taco truck.
No, oh, definitely, yeah, oh, of course, and that was the one from California.
We should, so, dang it, I should have shared the one that I had earlier with you guys.
I don't know if you've shared that one with us before.
I haven't. I mean, I've drank, you might have shared it on our socials and stuff.
Oh, but we haven't had it together.
But they always have it, so I'll pick up another one
and
we can taste it.
Okay, so we'll have that one, and that'll be a Hangover beer. Cool. But yeah, so like I said, for all the artists that we mentioned, I know Frank's going to have a list of favorite songs, and probably Britt and Kim will throw some at me. I already have a playlist started. You can find it on Spotify. You can listen to our episodes everywhere you listen to podcasts. Just go to rocktalkhappyhourpod.com. See the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram links. And then I guess until next time, we'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And instead of cheers, I'm going to say salud.
Salud.
Salud.